This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. With over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 5+ years in the games media combined, thought we'd throw a hat into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
If you would also like to join that PlayStation conversation, you can do so every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube, iTunes and other podcast services. More conversation happens on our Facebook community group page at facebook.com/groups/thepopculturist. And the most conversation happens on our Discord channel. You can get a link for that at the aforementioned group.
A link is in the description below.
And if you like what we do, please do consider heading over to patreon.com/thepopculturist. Check out the tiers there. There might be something there that interests you.
Yo.
You.
How's things?
Every time I say, you know, something that interests you, I always have in my head, like Soldier Boy, that interests
you.
White boy dance.
How you been, my friend?
Yeah, all right.
It's been good times.
Just
been
another week of monotony.
Yeah.
You know, just study and game and study more and work.
Life sucks balls, man.
Ah, life's all right, you know.
But I'm sure you know. So you, I know you said study and gaming.
Yeah.
Now I'm gonna hang on. Let me just
tap into the force.
Let me just. I have reason to believe that this week you played Gwent.
Yep.
I'm not feeling Overwatch.
No.
The Witcher 3.
Yeah, you are correct.
Because, duh.
Well, there's nothing else I want
to
play.
Didn't have to be psychic or touch your boobie to learn that.
You just wanted to touch my boobie.
I just want to touch your boobie.
Witcher 3 is fucking rad. I mean. Like, I get it now.
It's really funny, because remember, like, a couple of years ago, on the radio show, you were like, man, I don't get it. Witcher sucks.
I didn't say it sucked. It was overwhelming, yeah? You know, you go in and I remember I did the White Orchard area where there's just like the one notice board and a couple of quests, and then I got to the next area and there's 17 notice boards over this huge map, and I just kind of turned it off and went, I can't deal with this.
Yeah, I think we had a very, I think we had a very similar response when we both played.
Yeah.
We've discussed that before.
You know, Gwent strangely did get me into it, and now, you know, I'm playing the game and finding these characters and I'm like, oh, that's that card, and that character kind of explains why his card has this kind of ability. And
so is it simply because of we mentioned this a little bit last week, that Gwent is helping,
yeah,
but is that entirely fueling your play of Witcher 3?
Not anymore. It helped me, I think, get into the world properly, but now I'm just in. I'm playing it more than I'm playing Gwent at the moment. It's fucking awesome. I'm doing all the quests. Like, I'm going to complete every quest in every area. And the second area, the big one with like the 17 notice boards and that, I'm almost finished. In time, I think I'm almost done. You know, another one pops up because I finished that one, then this quest is available and stuff. But it's fascinating. All the side quests are really deep and really cool characters, and I'm loving it.
I wish I just had the time to sink in it like you do.
I put in about 10 hours yesterday because I was...
You know, I did 8 hours of work.
I was not too well yesterday, so I just spent the day on the couch going between The Witcher and YouTube for pretty much the entire day. And you know, so I put in about 25 hours in a week and a bit, but nearly 50% of that came from one day yesterday. So, and Gwent is Gwent. They had a new patch out.
Yeah, I saw that. Apparently there's a lot of changes. Yeah,
massive changes. So yeah, it's all refreshing again. Not that it was ever getting boring, because I started, you know, quite late into the last patch, but there's just a lot going on in the world of The Witcher. CD Projekt Red are very, very busy.
Busy peeps.
Yeah. What about you? I know you've been on and off a lot of games this week. Not a lot.
Yeah.
I've played two since I got here.
Yeah. That's true. We did too. So, first one we played for the week was not a PlayStation game, but it was Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle.
Shame.
No, that game fucking rad,
shame,
dude. No. Take away the PlayStation-ness for the moment. That game is rad.
Did you ever play any of the XCOM games?
I played XCOM Enemy Unknown on PS3.
Yeah.
And this
game was great.
This is that.
Yeah.
But a little bit simplified.
A little more forgiving.
A little more forgiving, sort of, sometimes, initially. and then it fucks you later. And it's you know, it's coated in this nice bright and colorful setup with, you know, with Mario. And so essentially what happens is there's a character in the game that's created this weird headset that can combine things. That's sort of what the headset does. The Rabbids somehow arrive in this basement of this house in a fucking time traveling washing machine. Mm-hmm. Then one of them puts the headset on and starts morphing things together and breaks the time machine. Then the time machine starts sucking all the Rabbids in, plus all the Nintendo Mario merchandise that's in this basement, right, all into the thing, creates a new dimension. That new dimension is the Mushroom Kingdom with the mix of the two.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that, you know, it's cool they've kind of written it in.
Yeah, because I was when they showed this little video, I'm like, oh, cool. Okay, they've explained how it comes together.
Yeah.
So throughout the world, you're finding these weird combinations of Rabbid and Mario stuff. Mm. There's like, you know, the Venus flytrap, like the Chad, but it's mixed with a fucking Rabbid. So it's a Rabbid, but with
okay. Do you find the Rabbids infuriating?
No.
Or are they not too...
Because they're not the center... Because they are and aren't the center focus. They're not entirely... disrupting. Because
they did have a minion vibe about them at one point.
Yeah. I find them slightly, I guess, from this experience, more entertaining than the minions, because I fucking hate the minions. Mm. But these guys have a little bit more crazy unpredictability to them, and I think that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And a lot of it, like, if I don't know there's a TV show I wouldn't watch, I think that'd be too much.
Mm.
But knowing that it's being off balance by, you know, Mario and his team, and sort of it's kind of...
Yeah, okay.
Then the restraint that's being shown on that end, and what's put over there, it's rad. And it's an odd balance between what is an incredibly niche and sometimes difficult genre, being mixed with one of the most accessible characters in the entire gaming industry.
I hear it's selling well, so that's good.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good.
What about PlayStation-wise?
PlayStation-wise, I have been playing... I jumped back into the Call of Duty World War II private beta.
Still getting smashed?
No. Ooh. Less smashed. I've turned a corner.
Still smashed, but just not as
smashed. Yeah, less so. Smashed. I'm like, yeah. I'm breaking even now. Like, my kill-death is like even rather than just being obliterated.
Yeah.
So now that I've played a little bit more, I'm thinking about level 8, 9 or something like that. I streamed it. Link maybe in the description if I remember. Yeah, so I went back in, did some team deathmatch sort of stuff. That was kind of cool. It's coming out okay. Now that I've you know, played a bit more, the level's up, the more guns are available to me, so that's kind of fun. They have this new mode called War, which is very similar to, like, Overwatch's, you know, payload carry.
Okay.
And the idea is, like, it's wave-based. So it's like, you, like, take out this objective, then you move to this objective, then you move to this objective. See, okay. The same way, like, Conquest in Battlefield used to be.
I think, oh, what was it? Quake Wars back in the day was similar to that. You know, you got the defending team and the attacking team. The attacking team gets this objective, and then the defenders get pushed back, and then you got to get the next one.
Yeah,
you keep kind of
it's exactly that
to the end of the map.
So the one that's available in the beta is sort of a 3-stage one. So it's one map. You have to take down like this building at the start, and then you've got to move across and rebuild a bridge, and then move across and take out this artillery.
That's cool. It's three steps. That sounds cool.
It's so much fun. I was playing with Pinch in the chat, you know, from the community in the game, and yeah, we just sort of being objective based, you are working together as a team, but it's taking advantage of the lone gunmanness, which is not a word, that Call of Duty has. So, but unlike Battlefield, which is very squad focused and has you working together as a team, so if you jump into a Battlefield game and all four of your squad are like off doing something else, you suck. You're never going to win. Yeah. You have four people, solid team, you're going to win every time. Where this is, you are the team, you're all objective-based, but the objectives are designed around you being able to run off and do what you want. Flank him, come in, and I had a lot of fun.
That sounds fun. That actually, because, you know, I'm not really keen on it. Mm. I don't think I am, but... You know, that kind of a mode is something that interests me greatly.
Yeah, I might. We'll play around when we're done.
If I got time, yeah, because we did start recording later than we did. I anticipated.
Well, how are you gonna head off tonight?
Got the kids tonight because it's Father's Day tomorrow.
Hey, it is Father's Day tomorrow. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to you.
Yeah.
First, like, legit Father's Day for you.
Good stuff.
Because, no, he wasn't born this time.
No,
last
he was
year.
Inside a person at that point.
So it's your first real Father's Day this year.
Very exciting.
You got plans on Father's Day?
No.
No?
No.
I think I'm just having barbecue with the parents.
I think, tomorrow. My dad's coming around with my sister. And my niece, so that really. Yeah, so that's actually a ton of fun.
Mm.
Like, no,
cool.
Really
I'm
good.
Cool.
And I also have been playing Everybody's Golf. So thanks PlayStation Australia for sending a code through for that. Mm-hmm. I thought it'd be, I was like, cool, it's a PlayStation exclusive, so it's already ticked a box there. Thought maybe it'd be a nice sort of chilled play, you know, like chilled stream, which it was. Everyone was talking about, you know, I streamed it last night as well, and everyone's like, man, this is like super fucking zen.
Mm.
And then I was like, boom, and I went, boom. Like, it's not so zen now, is it, motherfucker?
Yeah, you were raging at it when I got here.
Yeah. Look, it's very simple. It's not a, you know, golfing sim by any stretch of the imagination. It's kind of silly.
Akin to Mario Golf?
Yeah, similar, but I'd say a little bit more than Mario Golf. So you have to take into account, like, wind and terrain, and there's different clubs and balls. Like, yeah. But one thing that I found really interesting is your clubs have a level-up system.
Yep.
So if you're using like a, you know, a one wood or whatever, like the one that fucking whacks it down the, you know,
a nine iron,
the one that like
the putter,
your putters are in there.
Yeah.
Like the one that you just drive that shit down the yeah. Like first one you go off with, like thunk, and you want to go like 200 yards, whatever.
Right.
So the more you use it, the better you get at it.
Meaning,
you know, kind of the RPG-ish. So, you know, so if you hit it and it lands on the green, like if the better you, like the better shots you take, it levels up and the clubs become better.
But like, better how?
As in they you know, your margin, because the way it works in terms of is, so you press X is your power and you come back. It's a very old sort of like system. But as you get better at it, like that little gap to get the perfect hit can, you know, can slightly increase depending, you know. So it kind of takes away those things. It's less likely to be affected by the wind. It's less likely to, you know, be dumb.
Okay.
And that part's kind of fun.
Well, watching you play it, the only kind of criticism I had is the UI is very...
Oh man, it's very messy. There's a lot going on. It's super Japanese in that way. Like, there's a lot of things on screen. The art style is very Wii Resort-ish.
Yeah.
In a good and a bad way. The good way is I made a character that looks pretty much like me, but Asian. You know, bad, it doesn't look quite up there. It has that. It's a slightly lesser down version of like any. Like a Japanese, like a JRPG sort of, like that's cartoony stylized.
Persona.
No, Persona, because Persona's like a next level one. Mm. And on top of that, I did also spend about an hour with Ark Survival Evolved.
I saw you struggling with the campfire.
That shit's clunky as hell. I think I'll need to give that some more time before I can put too much.
Definitely seems like thoughts. A PC game.
Oh man,
a lot of these survival games.
It's not entirely. The menu system is not really optimized for consoles.
Yeah. See, that's the problem with a lot of the survival games that do end up on PS4, because I got 7 Days to Die.
Mm.
And me and my son played it heaps, really, really enjoyed the game, but the menu systems are just so fucking bad.
Yeah, like having the ability to like the mouse, I think, would greatly improve this game.
Yeah, and, you know, Minecraft got it down, but Minecraft has very limited...
But Minecraft controls. Also simplified their crafting process
as
well. Yeah,
but and that's the same issue I have with, you know, the MMOs that come to console as well, is the menus are usually shit.
Mm.
Like really clunky and really yuck. And, you know, I'm interested to see if, you know, Ark opens up a bit for you and you start to get it. I'm sure once you get the hang of it, it's fine, but it does seem a lot to take in.
Yeah, well, I'd say come next week.
You couldn't cook meat. I had to Google it for you.
Yeah, well, yeah. What should have been as simple as there's a campfire, press a button, puts meat on fire. You have to go into a menu, pick it, you know, take some of it, move it over here, and then, like, it's that unnecessarily menu garbage that find.
It all makes sense. The fires need fuel, so you got to put fuel in there, but it's the way it's presented that kind of makes it. But... You know, I'm not a game designer. I don't know how easy or hard
that like be. As I'm doing it, I'm like on PC, because you need to go click, 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 done.
Well, you probably right click and it automatically puts it in there.
Yeah. So the disadvantage of you know, because he doesn't have a... If it had a cursor in the same way that Destiny does, I think it would be better. Even though the cursor's kind of poo in consoles, I think it would work better than having a 1, 2, 3, 1...
Yeah. Well, what Minecraft did to alleviate that is triangle, you automatically put whatever you've highlighted into whatever menu you have open.
Mm-hmm.
So if you open the furnace, you need to put coal in there. Instead of going to your coal, pushing square, moving the cursor back up, putting it in the furnace. You just push triangle on the coal and it automatically just puts it in the furnace.
Yeah.
I don't know if Ark could do something like that. I don't know.
I said I've only spent an hour with it. I need to spend a bit more time with it, I think, to make a definitive sort of...
How much was it?
It is... I think it's a full price game at the moment.
Too much.
Yes.
Too much for me.
I didn't pay for it, though.
Oh, of course not.
Thanks to 5-star games.
Friends.
Very good friends. Oh, then when we've done talking about all that stuff, we start jumping into the news of the week, and this section is called Inform the Players. We tell you about all the PlayStation things that have happened this week.
We have a number of news topics for you today.
My favorite, yeah.
For the first time in 6 weeks, we are starting without Overwatch news.
Thank Christ.
Now, there was Overwatch news. I just elected to not put it in because it didn't seem that important
Thank
to anything. But it is worth noting that...
So I know the Team Deathmatch is live.
The Team Deathmatch patch is live.
So that's worth knowing because I'm going to try that out.
And there was a lot of character changes in that patch as well. Number one, if South Park, the Stick of Truth's classification hassles in Australia back in 2013 had you concerned for the fate of the sequel within these shores, relax. Ubisoft has today confirmed South Park the Fractured Butthole has been rated R18+ and will be released in Australia completely uncut and uncensored. The game and its associated rating advice is yet to appear in the Australian Classification Board's database yet. So I don't know what that means, though. Because Ubisoft have confirmed that, but it hasn't appeared in our classification board yet.
Which means they've received approval and it just hasn't been published.
Okay. Because yeah. that seemed to me like, you know, Ubisoft was saying, no, no, it'll be fine, but the Australian Classification Board's like,
oh. Yeah, I think they've gone, yeah, they're like, yes, you've passed classification. There's these two steps.
They
more
haven't updated.
There's two more steps that need to be completed before it's done. That's how I interpret it. But Ubisoft being like, no, this is fucking news.
So what this,
I remember when the email I got from Mikey at Ubi, he was pretty much like, not in nicer words, but he's like, holy shit, check it. And I was like, yeah, man.
So this pretty much confirms that there will be no anal probing in the Fractured
Butthole. Ah, yeah, no sexual violence, as we know.
So the butthole is not fractured because of anal penetration.
But there was one sort of questionable scene that I remember people got sort of uppity about was there's a scene where you have to, as a child, give a lap dance to a guy to get information out of him, but you farted him the whole time. He's like, yeah,
That's awesome.
Yeah, God. It's like... It
so
looks
I put,
awesome.
I put that at number one, even though you already knew about it before.
I love that news. This, like, this is perfect. Like, a conversation I was funny enough having early this morning with a bunch of our friends over at Load Screen and Do Even Game Bro, as well as our buddy, you know, our PR dude, Dave Chataway. We have sort of like talking about the R18 rating and sort of what's going on with that and whatever, because I was talking about Call of Duty and how it's all right. I'm like, yeah, it's valid. But like, this is a perfect example of them going, you know, we have this rating for a reason. It, you know, like, but at the same point, no sexual violence. There's some sexual content in there, but it's not, you know.
Yeah.
Like, cool, uncensored.
Doing what it should be doing.
Yeah.
The rating board.
Exactly, and that's the, yeah.
So thank you, Australia.
So well done.
Classification board. Thanks for doing us a solid.
I like these little mini figs. These are cool.
Number two, Sony has unveiled a new PSVR bundle that comes packaged with the PlayStation camera. According to PlayStation Blog, the bundle will only be available across US and Canada for now and is priced at $399, $499 Canadian. To any of our Canadian listeners out there.
Hi.
How you going?
I'm about the cat. He's from Canada.
The camera is required to use PSVR headset and largely been sold separately outside of a retailer-specific bundles. And the original launch day bundled revealed for the VR headset ahead of its launch last year. The bundle will now be taking the place of the existing $400 PSVR package, which only came with the headset and necessary cables.
Oh,
it will start
okay.
arriving in stores already now, September 1. So if you're in US or Canada, go ahead and
so this
get
makes
it
more sense. When we went through the news articles before and you're like, hey, it comes with a camera, I'm like, yeah, but they released the headset, which is the version I've got, just the headset in the box. Then it came with one that was the headset, VR Worlds, two Move controllers and a camera. I'm like, they've already bundled it with a camera. But I didn't realize that they are literally changing the base model, quote unquote,
yeah,
and
exactly
putting a camera in. That's fucking fantastic.
How much was the camera separately?
It's $90 Australian.
Fuck that.
I went on eBay and got one for $30, but I got the old square one.
Shitty camera. I've got one as well.
The circle one, the cylindrical one they have now, would be better because you can finesse that a little bit more on top of your TV.
Yeah.
If I use my VR more, I'd probably look at getting...
Yeah, so that's good. It shows that Sony is obviously still quite heavily invested in their VR. They are definitely interested in getting it out to more people and making it more accessible and as cheap as they possibly can for people to get into it. So, ticks all boxes. Well done, Sony. I do hope it, I hope it does make its way to Australia, that bundle. I'm sure it will at some point. But, you know, time will only tell. Number three, prior to the start of the Tokyo Game Show 2017, Sony Interactive Entertainment Japan Asia will hold a PlayStation press conference in Japan on Tuesday, September 19th. According to Sony's announcement on the Japanese PlayStation blog, translation via Gimatsu, the briefing will begin September 19th at 4 p.m. Japanese Standard Time or 5 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. And there's other times. For those unable to attend the conference, Sony will also stream the event live. Tokyo Game Show 2017 will kick off two business days from September 22nd to 23rd, which will be followed by 2 days for the general public, 23rd to 24th. Sony's pre-TGS conference last year featured several surprises, including the announcement of a special edition Final Fantasy XV PS4, as well as a release date for Neo and new details about Danganronpa 3 and much more. What can we get this year out of this press conference?
I think the big one would be Monster Hunter Worlds.
Date? Like a proper date? Or
maybe a date. At least certainly some more information. I'm just trying to think of anything that's very Japanese-centric. Maybe
maybe
some more of Shadow of Colossus, because that's being done by Studio Japan.
What other... Because we've got Tokyo Game Show. Gamescom has just been and gone and not too much really happened there.
Not for PlayStation, at least.
What else is there for the rest of the year for PlayStation
PSX.
To announce shit?
PSX in early December.
In December.
So that's the thing. A lot of what they're banking on will come from PSX. Mm. I think we'll get. I guarantee we'll get like some proper release dates in PSX, because you know it's right before 2018, and that's where it'll sort of go. Yeah. They'll be like, "Hey, God of War's X date. Detroit is X date or X window."
Well, it's worth keeping an eye on because there might be a few surprise announcements there. I hope there is.
I think there will certainly be more. And obviously more Japanese focused stuff. I think we will get my bet is on Monster Hunter and Shadow of the Colossus.
Maybe some more info on all the new Persona games, maybe.
Oh, that's a good point. The new dancing to Persona 5 and stuff.
Number four. This one's rad. I really like this.
Yeah, it's good
topic.
News.
Middle Earth Shadow of War executive producer Michael Forgy, if I'm pronouncing that properly, I'm sorry if I'm not, lost his battle with cancer last year at the age of 43. To help ease the burden on his surviving family and as a way to honour his enthusiasm for both his work and playing music, Warner Brother Games is offering DLC characters in his likeness. The $5 USD download adds Forthog the Orc Slayer to the game, named after the Monolith Band, in which Forgy was a member. The Orc Slayer shows up at random intervals, one hit destroying whichever orc your character is currently facing. Forthog wields a weaponized guitar, using it to melee and utterly destroy orc opponents. The game's caption refers to him as a mysterious savior in the video trailer for the DLC. Every time someone buys the DLC, Warner Brother Games donates $3.50 USD to Forgy's spouse and three surviving children. The offer is good through to December 31st, 2019, and the character can be pre-purchased right now on both PC and Xbox One, and PS4 later next month. This is cool.
Yeah.
Really touching. There is a trailer to watch. I'll mention it in the For the Trailer section. The trailer was really good. It really... Forthog, the orc that shows up, really has very human characteristics to him.
Yeah, like so when you look at majority of the orc characters, you're like, yeah, you're clearly a made-up face.
Yeah.
When you look at this, you're like, that's a face.
That's someone's face.
It's kind of confronting. It's like Uncanny Valley confronting.
Yeah,
for a moment.
But
and you then know, you're like, and then it's like, no.
Because, you know, Shadow of War's had a lot of shit thrown at it lately because of, you know, the microtransactions and loot boxes. And this kind of shows a different side to Warner Brothers as a company.
I think it's Monolith,
but it is Warner Brothers kind of... WB.
No, yeah, I guess, but I think WB would be like, hey, we can try, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, they have to okay.
I think if Monolith had their way, it'd be like, it's $5, $5 goes to the family.
Yeah, but, you know, Warner Brothers is a business as well. So. Yeah. But, you know, $3.50 of every $5, so Warner Brothers keeping $1.50 out of each.
Yeah.
You know. But, you know, they got to make money for their work as well.
Yeah, and I agree with that too. Like, this is the cynical thing. It's a fucking sweet idea. Mm. It's like a slight pay-to-win character. Like, but it all depends on how randomly he comes out and does it. But regardless, I'm going to buy it just to support this really cool idea. I think it's something that needs to be done. I think it's in terms of like it's so touching. In a game about orcs, it's incredibly human. Mm. It's beautiful.
And you'll be reminded of him every time Forthog the Orc Slayer shows up.
And you're like, oh,
you
yeah,
quickly
that
dude. Go, oh, this guy, you know. And, you know, the money going to his surviving wife and three children. Very good. Well done, Warner Brothers. We need more. I think this is the first of its kind of a thing.
Well, there has always been sort of little nods to characters. Like, I know when Robin Williams passed away, they created a character in his likeness in WoW. Yeah. And there's also one who conveniently looks like him in Breath of the Wild as well.
Yeah, I did see that too, actually. But this is more, this is monetary support.
This is not a tip of the hat. This is clearly, this person. Yeah. And out of the DLC,
that it is until the end of 2019, that's 26 months that DLC will be available for. So
pretty awesome.
That's really awesome. What else is really awesome is number 5. Following a limited edition release last year, PlayStation have announced in a blog post that translucent crystal versions of its updated PS4 DualShock 4 controllers will be releasing this October. Translucency aside, these controllers are essentially identical to the current iteration of DualShocks. These are the latest modification to Sony's controllers, which feature a redesigned touchpad on which the second light bar is located to provide players with in-game cues. In addition to the classic crystal version, Sony have also announced red and blue varieties, which are identically translucent but feature a splash of colour. The range launches on Tuesday, October 17th in America. No word on Australia just yet, but I'm sure you can import if you so wish. They look really nice.
They do. I know Sam Vanderlee, he'll be buying the fuck out of these because he collects himself some PS4 controllers.
What I want from controllers, though, is I want a premium PlayStation controller.
Like a first party, not like a Razer or
whatever. Yeah, none of that stuff. Well, just, you know, the Xbox One Elite controller is fucking awesome. The Switch Pro controller is awesome.
While we're there, there's a question that came in from Max, as he does, because he's fantastic.
As is tradition.
As is tradition. Although it's not loading up, he essentially asks, which bounce off that, what is your favorite controller of all time?
Of all time? Fuck.
See, I'm going to sort of break down, right? Like, so with NES, it makes sense. Squares, kind of dumb. Not very ergonomic in the hand. The rectangle, squared corners of the NES.
So I think Super Nintendo was the most influential by adding the trigger.
By adding the two touch buttons at the top. Although I never had an official one, I always had like a clearly bootleg third party one. So it was kind of clunky and didn't really work too well. So I have a lot of memories for that.
For me, honestly, and I know a lot of people won't agree, but the Nintendo 64 controller.
No,
I love that controller.
Controller's fucking poo.
Fingering the joystick every time it got dusty. Because the joystick wouldn't work sometimes because it was exposed. So you have to lick your finger and get the dust out of there.
See, like, my issue with the N64 controller is that exact reason. That, like, I remember I read an article about this. Like, yeah, after they sort of heard about, well, this part may not be right, but, you know, when Sony were looking at doing the DualShock, apparently they've gone, oh, we need a joystick. And they've thrown this thing. It looks like a toothpick stuck to a bit of, you know, like a little sensible.
It was a bit more rugged than that.
I don't believe so.
The 64?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
No, and it was
just as thick as the DualShock 4's attachment.
No, it's like a fucking pin. Ooh. Like, mind you, it's not like this. It's like probably, you know.
The DualShock 4 is bigger on top, you know, where you actually put your thumb, because it was really small on the 64. Maybe it's because
it comes down to like a point in the 64.
Maybe it's because I was little last time I used it, so it seemed bigger than it is.
Because I remember looking into it and I was like, yeah, it was such an afterthought. Mm. Like what it could have been is missing.
It's fine.
But, you know, then what else? So I've had the DualShock all my life. I always thought, you know, the DualShock 3 was the best controller. Now I use it and it's trash.
If we didn't have the N64 controller as it was designed, Zelda games would not be what they are. Because Zelda games would not have been possible without that type of controller design, with the Z button on the back and everything like that. No. N64 is best.
I disagree.
Yeah, you can. That's fine.
What the control that I love right now is the Xbox Elite. One Elite.
Yeah.
That controller is fantastic. Mm. Like, I always used to shit on Xbox controllers. I'm like, the thumbstick's forward. That's stupid. And then I play it. I'm like, Don't be wrong. DualShock 4 is leaps and bounds better than the DualShock 3. But it's just like, as you hold it, and especially with the Elite, it's got that weight to it, the trigger's on the back, it's all sort of metal construction.
You go back
now
and you pick up a DualShock 3.
Damn. One right there. We can go touch right now.
And it's so light. Yeah. Compared to the PS4 controller.
You should touch the PS2 controller. There's no tech in that at all.
Just it's a like, little chipboard.
Yeah, there's no like wireless functionality at all.
Yeah.
The answer is Xbox One Elite controller. Sadly, on PlayStation Show.
Number six, after 2
Unless
years...
Unless they make it like an Elite Pro PS4, then I might change my mind.
They would have done it by now.
Yes, I think that's why they just gave it to Razer and whatever.
I think it's on their cards.
I have to give it a try Monday, maybe.
Number six, after 2 years in early access, Ark Survival Evolved finally launched across PC and console. To promote the release, the developers teamed up with efforts at studio Pixmondo, which did some amazing work on shows like Game of Thrones and Furious 7. The brief teaser trailer shows a man washing up on the shore of a tropical world, greeted by a woman riding a dinosaur. The man quickly learns how unforgiving Ark can be. So we're going to be getting more... I guess it says its title is a TV series, but from what I read from this, it's just like, you know, short clips that might just go to YouTube and whatnot. So I don't know. Have you seen it? It looks weird. Like the dinosaur just doesn't, like I read, you know, because it's a clickbaity title. It was like, you know, Game of Thrones screen whatever are working on Ark TV series. I was like, whoa, that's fucking huge. And then I read the article, I was like,
it's a web series at best.
I don't know, but Ark are clearly like balls to the wall. Like, we are making this a big thing, so stay tuned for that. But also on Ark, if you can get into the game, you might be interested in this. 2 years after debuting in early access, Ark will be releasing, now that it has released, will be releasing its first DLC next month in October. At PAX West, Studio Wildcard announced the Aberration Pack, which will launch on all platforms this October. According to the developer, Aberration takes place on a damaged Ark whose internal atmosphere has leaked away. This results in harsh landscapes with a plethora of lush underground biomes containing all new... That's what I said. Underground biomes containing all new exotic creatures and items to be acquired. So for the trailers, I'll just chuck it in there. Ark, what was it called again?
Abomination.
Aberration. The trailer looks really good. We watched it before this.
It looks like the game when you master Where I'm Not.
Yeah, but there's also... The trailer is obviously a PC trailer.
Because
the graphics
really
are fucking incredible. And what I saw on the PS4 just wasn't that. But... The trailer looks really fun, and I'm like, I want to play this game.
Yeah.
Then I watch you playing Ark. I'm like, I don't want to play this game.
See, we're
you
in
know
the
what
like,
I mean,
because I'm in the process of building a PC. So I'm very curious to sort of then jump into it on the PC and see how it holds up.
See, I want, because I didn't even realize Ark was a crafting survival game. You know, I want the game that's shown in the trailers. You know, just fucking riding dinosaurs and all that shit. And then I see you doing like the crafting at the campfire and your food's down. And I'm like, oh, I don't want that. I want what this Aberration DLC shows because it looks fucking rad. Seventh?
Next bit of news.
Bungie has announced the first raid for Destiny 2 will be coming the week after its September 6th release date. The news comes via Eurogamer, who also says that the trials will launch a couple of days after September 15th. All of the game's Nightfall activities will be available on release day. Bungie is keeping details of the first raid under wraps. However, we do know its name through the list of trophies to be unlocked while playing.
John.
So I'm not going to... I'm going to raid John.
Yeah.
John's butthole.
we know its name.
So it seems John. Like they've learned... because, you know, Destiny 1 was played with content problems and lack of anything to do. So release, like a week is really soon after release.
Yeah,
real but quick. You know there are going to be people fucking hamming this game for days and days and days. So it seems like if they keep up that kind of content release schedule, there'll never be like a lack of anything to do. Are you still picking it up on release day?
What's the plan?
I'm on the fence.
Well, what's changed? Witcher?
I don't know if I can afford to have that distraction at the moment of Destiny.
Okay.
Just because there's so much going on, I don't know if I can really... I don't know.
I think it's worth it for the community, Josh.
Oh, no, I know. And I'm sure I will anyway. But now, like days out, I'm like, oh...
Yeah,
I don't know
like, I'm not getting any fancy edition. I'm getting the standard edition.
Yeah, or Big W have it for $64.
See, that's totally manageable.
JB have it for $69. EB is still at $99.95, but no, they'll price match.
Did you say Target was it?
Big W.
Oh, dang.
Why?
Because I have a Target voucher I need to use.
Oh. they might. I haven't looked at Target. But yeah, they're really kind of hamming out the content. And I do want to raid with the community too.
Yeah.
Because I never did the Destiny 1 raids.
Yeah, same.
Moving in the last two bits of news, PS Plus games for September 2017 have been announced. They are probably out the day this comes out.
Potentially, if not coming days. Mm.
So you will get on PS4 Infamous Second Son, Strike Vector X. On PS3, you'll get Truck Racer and Handball 2016. On PS Vita, cross-buy with PS4, you'll get We Are Doomed and Hatoful Boyfriend.
Infamous Second Son.
Awesome.
Fuck
game.
Yeah. Fucking great game. That is a
release game.
This is literally, like, you know, when they're like, we want AAA games. There it is. There's one right there. Yeah.
Even though it's only worth $25 now.
Regardless, but it's such huge a good game. When you pay $20 a month, whatever, you already earned your $20.
Yeah. Well, you pay less than that.
Yeah.
But yeah, Infamous Second Son is great. Hatoful Boyfriend, I think, will be
a dating sim. I'm going to play the fuck out of it.
A dating sim with pigeons. I think that'll be a fun stream.
Yeah, done.
It's literally like all the avatars are pigeons.
I'm in
this game. Totally, so I think that'll be a fun stream.
Let's like make some feathery fucking.
Last bit of news for the week: top selling games for week ending 27th of August 2017. Starting at number 10, Agents of Mayhem. Number 9, The Last of Us Remastered. Number 8, Rugby League Live 4. Number 7, Ghost Recon Wildlands. Number 6, Uncharted 4. Number 5, GTA 5. Number 4, Madden 2018. Number 3, F1 2017. Number 2, Crash Insane Trilogy. And number 1, as predicted, Uncharted The Lost Legacy.
Bam, bam, bam.
Naughty Dog have 30% of the top 10 games. Bravo.
Well done.
Sports games in that list this week. There's three.
Look, it says a lot about Agents of Mayhem when it's outsold by 5 games that have already come out like months ago. And one, the game that came out in 2014.
There's a lot of games come out that don't even make the fucking list.
That's the point. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, there's sports games are a thing.
Yeah, F1, I was actually honestly thinking with you know the release of sports games, you know, as well as, you know, we're playing everybody's golf. I think I was thinking we do a topic about sports games, but I don't think neither of us really care enough, so we didn't do it.
Only ice hockey.
I didn't pitch it.
Yeah. Worth noting as well, first time I think since we've ever done this is that there is no Call of Duty in that top 10.
Holy shit, you're right.
Yep. Not a single one.
Dude, everyone's sort of
waiting with beta.
Everyone's waiting for World War II.
Well, no one bought it last week because they had probably had the beta. So no one was buying for World War II.
Yeah, no one needed to pick it up. Or they've played the beta and gone, yeah, no, we're good. We'll wait.
Yeah, we can't go back to any of the other ones.
This is the shit.
They're shit. And for the trailers, like I said before, Shadow of War, Forthog the Orc Slayer. Very touching trailer, definitely worth checking out. And the Ark Aberration trailer, just watch that for what could be, because it looks really cool, and I really think that it's an interesting trailer.
Now, the topic of the week also sort of falls into From the Players, the section where you can throw your questions at us.
www.thepopculturist.com/questions.
Or just comment below. Both options. Once again, Max, because Max just goes fucking ham.
Yeah.
He does such a good job. He says, to this week's topic, very simple. A very simple topic.
Yeah.
What video games would you like to see adapted into a movie or TV series?
Plenty. Would you be mad at me if I said The Witcher?
Yes, I would, but it's already in work by Netflix.
Yeah,
so that's an easy one.
But I don't. Netflix originals lately have been really touch and go.
Yeah,
there was a time when everyone was just fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And now they're doing so much that now there's just kind of meh stuff coming through.
Yeah. But
The Witcher is definitely more suited to a TV series than a movie.
Yeah, I think that's sort of in the case. Because with the lore of that grand size and scale, you want it in the bite-sized chunks. Because that's the problem. The problem that video game movies have is they're trying to compress all this into 20 minutes, and that's almost impossible.
Yeah. I thought of the perfect cast for Geralt. I just forgot his name.
Josh Saunders.
No. Maybe in like 40 years when I'm grey as shit.
And buff.
Oh, what's his name?
What's he done?
The villain from Casino Royale. Madsen.
Oh, Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah. Mm. He's got that.
Yeah, the guy that's was he the villain in Casino Royale?
Yeah, he's like whipping Bond's balls with the.
Oh yeah, stick. Yeah. Is it Mads Mikkelsen or Mads Nicholson? He was in Rogue One.
Yeah,
he's also in. He's going to be in Death Stranding.
I think him as like looks wise, he could make a good Geralt.
He's got that really in every movie he's ever been in. They fuck with his eyes in some way, yeah. And you know,
I'm just picturing with like the orange cat's eyes and like the scars on the face, and you know, the beard and the ponytail. I think he's probably the best pick.
If cast is no option.
Oh yeah.
What I would like to see is Red Dead Redemption. So I think Red Dead Redemption's got quite an incredible story. Yeah. Now I would
get John Marston to play John Marston.
No, the guy looks nothing like John Marston.
But you know, for namesake.
I think it would be, yeah. I would tell the John Marston story. I wouldn't,
with the same ending.
Yeah, because it gives the series a finite ending. There's no like.
Wait, you're talking movie or TV series?
TV series.
Okay.
Because once again, you can't put all that into a movie.
Fuck, what a bittersweet ending for a TV series.
Fantastic,
that would be.
Wouldn't it? You know, I think that'd be great. I don't know. If it was a movie, I'd kind of like the guy that directed The Revenant. Gonzalez Inarritu, whatever, like, because he really, like, with The Revenant, like, the tone in that movie and just the way it looks, it look would be spectacular for the Red Dead. But, like, as a TV series.
Are there bears in Red Dead?
No, but it looks like there might be in the next one. Because where they're sort of showing the landscape. Yeah. I don't know, yeah. I don't know who I would cast in it, but I think that story lends itself to a really good series.
Okay. Well, let's talk movies.
Okay.
Like what could make,
because series is easy. You could be like the benefit that series has is that storytelling, not trying to cram shit in. So yeah. Anything with a good story could instantly become a good TV series.
Yeah. So I think.
So let's put some difficulty on ourselves and let's make it movies.
Well. Well, let's talk BioShock.
Okay.
So.
Now you've recently just played BioShock for the first time.
Not the first time.
Semi-recently.
Not the first time.
I swear it was your first time.
No, I haven't played Infinite.
Oh, yes.
But I bought
the
collection to play through it all. And, yeah, that's cool.
I've not played it since PS3, so my memory may be a little bit
BioShock has a very unique setting and a very unique world. A very unique characters. I don't think we've really seen any kind of movie like it. Unless that one comes to your mind.
No, not like... aesthetically, probably not, because it's partial steampunk. There'll be a lot of post processing, post processing. I don't know, whatever, or post production. There would need to be a very obvious filter over everything to have an underworld sort of.
So the characters that need to be cast would be Andrew Ryan,
the lead antagonist.
The man not entitled to the sweat of his brow. You know, that guy. Atlas is the guy who's communicating with you the whole
time. Face in the corner.
And Jack Ryan is the silent protagonist.
Yeah. And then, of course, you'll need the big daddies as well as the little sisters. Yeah.
So as for Jack Ryan, your silent protagonist, you need someone...
Who's because there's a lot of physicality with this role.
Yeah.
You know, and the splicing and stuff will be pretty cool. So you need someone that sort of can portray some emotion, but being very stilted yet stoic. Silent, stoic, but not like wooden.
Well, you know who is good at being stoic and silent? Wentworth Miller.
Oh man, that guy can stare out like a jail cell.
Although,
like crazy.
I find any scene with Wentworth Miller alone incredibly boring.
I find you incredibly
when he's
boring
not
com- now.
When he's not convening with anyone. You don't get his attitude. You know, when he's very, like, take Prison Break, Wentworth Miller, you know, he's very silent and brooding. But when he speaks to people, that's when you get that kind of cocky, arrogant attitude coming across a little bit. But when he's alone, it's just like, this could be anyone, I think.
No, any role with Sam Worthington could be anyone. Like, if you want someone to stand there and do nothing, you get Sam Worthington in
and
there.
Say, like, four lines. Well, what about... Let's go like full big budget.
We'll go two options. We'll go like a realistic one and a batshit one.
No, I got a few I want to mention. DiCaprio.
This is your batshit one.
There's your batshit.
Once again, back to The Revenant. I need to watch that again so bad. Like he spent a lot of that movie silent.
Yeah, but acted. He got an Oscar for it.
He did some incredible, as our buddy Tom would say, acting.
Yeah. See that... Wentworth Miller and DiCaprio, I think, would fit the BioShock universe as it is. But if you wanted to go a more action-y kind of route, Jason Statham.
Oh man, yeah, that guy can brew
just
like the best
fucking
of them.
Up the splices with his big English attitude, like shanking him in the back and shit, firing like plasmids out of his hand and stuff. But even so, I think even
so. See, that's the only concern. I don't think DiCaprio would be super into the whole like
physicality of
Not like, he is a physical man, I think. But I mean, like in terms of the embracing that crazy, like with Wentworth Miller being as part of the Legends of Tomorrow, like he's like, all right, I've been in stupid movies.
Where he's essentially playing his Prison Break character anyway.
Yeah, slightly. Just with it's a bit hammed up. Yeah.
Or even Ewan McGregor.
No, you're
not feeling that?
Nah. See, yeah, you've kind of sold me on Wentworth Miller.
Okay. So Jack Ryan, Wentworth Miller. Next, we need to talk about Atlas.
The face in the corner.
The only one I can think of will be Daniel Craig. Because he has the look.
You need the voice.
I think he could do the voice pretty well.
Because majority of the time, they're only dealing with you through voice. So you want someone with a strong, sort of pronounced voice.
Yeah.
And they're everything, if I remember right, they did all sort of have like an English inflection.
Oh yeah, it's Irish.
No, in the game though.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
He's Atlas is Irish.
I remember.
Those splicers are going to come. Yeah, he speaks like Danny O'Dwyer.
I can remember.
Danny O'Dwyer to do it.
Done.
Done and dusted. Wentworth Miller and Danny O'Dwyer in the same movie.
Wentworth Miller, Danny O'Dwyer.
The billing would be really weird. Well, can you think of anyone else though?
More because I assumed because I've not played it in so long. I assumed he was English. Good Irishman. Ooh, I'll come back to you on that one.
Okay. Well, then, of course, the main villain is Andrew Ryan, who... If you had Jason Statham as Jack Ryan, you'd have Stallone as Andrew Ryan.
You're the man not entitled to the sweat of his brow.
So you need someone who has, like, a incredible presence. You need someone that really... sets the scene, like it's intimidating. Is like, ooh.
Christopher Walken. Is a man not entitled to the sweat?
Is a man
not entitled?
Not entitled, yeah.
To the sweat of his brow.
How bizarre! Yeah.
Bill Nye.
Bill, like the science guy.
No, Bill Nye.
Oh,
not Bill Nye.
Oh,
you don't know who he is?
No, I like Bill Nye though.
Shaun of the Dead, stepdad.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah, he was. He was.
He's been in
Underworld.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's like the king vampire.
The king vampire guy, is also, of course, in Hot Fuzz as the police commissioner briefly at the start.
Fuck yeah, no, he's perfect.
Yeah, he's got the presence. He's got the voice. He's got the pronunciation. Even though Andrew,
because Andrew had felt that like, quote unquote upper class ish, but you know, like as in like very well, he was well spoken, if I remember right.
Yeah, very well spoken. But also, you know, batshit fucking crazy as well.
Yeah, it's totally a good pick. Well done.
Or Liam Neeson.
See, Liam Neeson would make a good Atlas, actually, because he's Irish.
I would too, actually.
I'd put him as Atlas.
Okay, so we've got Wentworth Miller as Jack Ryan. We've got Liam Neeson as Atlas and Bill Nye as Andrew Ryan. Mm-hmm. Little sisters are... I don't know a lot of, like, little girl
actors. I know child
actors,
so it kind of makes it tough.
But if I just had to say one off the top of my head, probably Alan Page.
I think you're a bit off there with Alan Page, but only because we have no other comparison. I don't know. I'll have to agree with you.
But she looks like she's four, so...
She got that weird sort of, like, mid-baby face.
Yeah, or,
like,
like
an old baby.
Oh, what's her name? The girl who did Ellie in Last of Us. Name?
Oh, what the voice actress?
Ashley
Johnson.
Yeah. She looks little as well.
Yeah, because I think with the little sisters, they have to genuinely be like urchin. I would probably... What about the chick that played X-23 in Logan?
Ooh. What was her name?
Oh, that chick.
The psycho cutting chick.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, let's go with that.
Physicality, little sisters. Yeah.
And Big Daddy, even though they don't have a voice or a face, Idris Elba.
That's...
Big Daddy.
Racist.
It is what it is. If you see it that way, fine.
I lay it where it fits. Yeah.
Why? Tell me a white actor that could be a Big Daddy.
The Rock. He's not white.
He's not white. He's Samoan. Halfjorn Bjornsson, the mountain from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, done. Bjornsson.
Nah.
Dude, side note, by the way, I know it's nothing to do with PlayStation, but like I was watching behind the scenes of Game of Thrones. Mm. I thought they recast him. But no one's actually that guy. They just decked him out in the fucking zombie mountain.
Yeah,
well,
the mountain's been recasted three times. That's the whole what series, I was thinking. But they haven't recast.
See, that's why I thought they had him for the Viper batch. And then they were like, he's now the zombie mountain. He's, you never see his face. It can be anyone.
Well, we might see his face.
So. No, but you can sort of see his face. Like, yeah. His face is hidden. It's just another tall guy.
Nobody else has the build he has.
Yeah.
Nobody else has that build.
See, like, I think he looks less tank in the armor. So, like, when they actually took the helmet off, like, when I was watching the behind the scenes, I'm like, oh, fuck, it is him. Cool.
Yeah, because the first mountain wasn't tall.
Mm.
He was fucking solid. He was stoic. Because you remember him fighting the Hound in front of King Robert.
Yeah.
And he's like, enough of this. And the Hound, like, gets to his knee as the sword swings over his head. Yeah. Such a cool scene. And the next mountain was just some fucking lank. No muscle on him at all. He was like 8 foot tall, but there was nothing of him. I suppose he could be Big Daddy. He just needs a big drill on his hand. Just
once again, it could be fucking anyone because it's all hidden. So
yeah, unless you give him a voice and a personality.
Yeah.
But if a Big Daddy came along and spoke and it was Idris Elba doing his like angry voice, I'd be fucking scared.
If they did give it a tone of voice and they had
so Wentworth Miller, Bill Nighy, Liam Neeson, Alan Page and Idris Elba.
Alan Page has been replaced. Chick from Logan.
Young Wolverine and Idris Elba.
So that's going to be a very like sort of like somber, still an action movie, but a bit more down on tone. What I'm thinking
that I think a really well done BioShock movie could really like set the bar for video game movies. Maybe even win an Oscar.
I think if it's delivered right, yeah.
It has to be delivered right. I don't know about writers and directors. I don't know enough about the industry to do that.
What you have put there, yes, a very somber, semi-dramatic, like very dark in tone.
The same tone as the game had. Because BioShock 1 had the perfect tone. Yeah, let's
do that. I want fucking big, bombastic, yeah, everything cranked to 11. I want a GTA movie.
Oh. GTA is essentially a movie as it is.
Yeah, that's sort of the point, as we accidentally play footsies under the table. For me, it's you can take some comedic writing. It is an incredible satire piece when done correctly. You get the big blockbuster stuff that you want from a movie. Like watching a GTA movie at like your VMAX or your Titan or your IMAX.
Mm.
Jesus Christ.
If the casting is right.
So this is who we're going to need. We're going to need obviously the main three. If we're doing GTA 5, we need Trevor. Yeah. We need Franklin. Yeah. We need Michael. And for added benefit, we're going to need Lester. You know, the weird, awkward friend. We'll need Lamar, who was Franklin's buddy. Mm. And I imagine we would need Michael's family. So we would need Amanda.
Tracy
and Jimmy.
Yes.
And Trevor did have his friends. He had the old guy and...
I don't know enough about to get that deep.
He had the old guy and had the juggalo. But I think that's a little too deep. I think it'd be... in benefit of this story would be if he was sort of a lone wolf.
Well, just for the sake of it being a coherent movie, I don't think you'd have all those extra characters anyway. Yeah. So, Trevor.
Trevor's easy. I think Stephen Ogg. So, Stephen Ogg is the guy that did the voice of Trevor. He's actually an exceptional actor. He's rocked up in... he's in Walking Dead currently. He was in Better Call Saul. He is Trevor personified. I showed you a video before we came in here of, like, this... that may have been, like, cracked or something. They did this, like, Grand Theft Auto VR April Fool's video. Mm. And it was Stephen Ogg Trevor. Funny. And he is Trevor.
Yeah. He just needs a little more weight around the tummy.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of chub on and then he's good.
Oh, he's chubbed all the time.
So chubby, should I clarify?
Well, if he couldn't, what about Walton Goggins?
Oh, that's the guy from like Sons of Anarchy who played the woman. Fucking fantastic performance, by the way. You've never watched Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
But his character alone...
rad.
Oh! Yeah.
Well, he's a great actor and he's been
and he was in like Hateful Eight as well. Yeah. Like, oh man, I put him in anything. Put him in like fuck, he could play the Big Daddy for all I care. Dude, he's good.
But I think Stephen Ogg is the right choice for Trevor.
Like there's no one else.
For Franklin.
Because like, I think if that's a tilt to the hat to the fans and to like the, you know, people that watch TV. Like he's a great actor.
And not a tilt for that for the sake of it either. He said like, he could do it properly.
He could.
For Franklin, Ice Cube.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
Well, no, actually, no. He probably doesn't have the right attitude.
I think Ice Cube's a little too gangster and a little too old. Because Franklin's whole story arc was him getting out of that shit.
O'Shea Jackson Jr.
Who the hell is that?
I think it's Ice Cube's son, isn't it?
Oh my god! Yeah, the one that played him in Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah,
I like that. Like, I was also sort of thinking like Michael B. Jordan, but I don't know what he was the black dude in like Fantastic Four. He was the woman in Fantastic Four. Of course, he's the black dude. So he was in Fantastic Four. He's done something like, but my concern is I think he might be a little too young, not quite the same build as Franklin. Like, because you know,
what about Idris Elba? I have a chub for Idris Elba.
That's gonna be interesting. That one,
don't know.
I'm not sure on that one. No,
Michael.
See, this is where it's gonna get stupid. Because you need some sort of like someone with that sort of New Yorkish sort of accent, like Italian roots.
Yeah.
When I was thinking about this earlier, my brain went straight to Joe Pesci from like Home Alone. Like, obviously the guy's like 80 now, so it's not really doable. But like, if you had Home Alone Joe Pesci, like that's Michael, right?
If you're gonna have Joe Pesci as Michael, then you need Daniel Stern as Trevor.
Is that the other?
Get Harry and Marv back together. Even though, they're both like 60 or 70. Turn to what time frame we're going for. Because if you're going for a younger cast, you could have Bradley Cooper as Michael.
No, I don't think he fits that character. Because of what the story arc, of what the arc they're trying to tell with Michael.
Alec Baldwin.
Yes. Oh, a little bit. Yeah. Okay. Cool. I'm feeling Alec Baldwin. Yeah.
So we've got Stephen Ogg, O'Shea Jackson Jr., and Alec Baldwin so far.
Because what's great about Michael's character is Michael's character sort of he's done the hard life and now he's in witness protection and he's just chilling out and he's falling back into that world. Yeah. And I think, funny enough, Alec Baldwin could bring that reluctance that comes.
Yeah. And also the attitude as well. So he's got the perfect amount of wit and the perfect deliverance, I think.
Now, this is the same thing, right? So Stephen Ogg did such a good job of Trevor. Mm. The actors who, for the life of me, I can't remember for Franklin and Michael, no disrespect, I think they could do it.
Oh, they probably
could. Because like they mocap the entire movie, the entire game.
Yeah, maybe.
And the voice is like, if you were to do that and you didn't have a studio up your ass, bring in these big actors, I would say bring the original cast in.
Yeah, okay.
But I do like where we're going. This is great.
All right, well, Lester. Now, I have two options for Lester.
Okay, so Lester's kind of awkward, he's uncomfortable, he's a little bit chubby.
Bit nerdy as well,
isn't
he?
Bit nerdy, kind of like hides like a cane for some reason.
Jonah Hill.
No, see, I think Jonah Hill would be better cast as Jimmy.
The disappointing son.
Yeah, because like, it's funny, because he even sounds like Jonah Hill. I remember when the game came out.
I'm picturing Alec Baldwin and Jonah Hill riding their bikes down the riverside.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
So like, see, I remember when the game came out, I was playing, I'm like, this sounds like Jonah Hill. It looks and sounds like, it wasn't, but fuck, I thought it was.
Okay.
I think he has to be Jimmy.
What about Rainn Wilson?
Who?
Dwight from The Office. Come on.
Get him into a fat suit and you're in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got that right awkward attitude.
Yeah, he's got the bit of quips and, you know. How are you feeling?
I've got a face and even an inkling of a name.
You give me.
Even remember.
No, like even like what they've been in. Where's the face coming from?
I don't know. I can't remember.
So how are you going to Google a face?
I don't know. What was that TV show probably in the late 90s?
Mm-hmm.
Ally McBeal. Remember the show?
Yeah, I didn't really watch it though.
But that gives me a jumping on point. Who I'm thinking of. You'll know him.
Okay.
But
I'm gonna keep moving forward.
Okay, you do that.
So we need, obviously, if we're gonna do the quote unquote, so that's the main cast. So this is the secondary cast. We're heading into sort of like, you know, Michael's family. I think with Amanda, who's his like bitch of a wife, And it has to be like...
Robert Downey Jr. was in Ally McBeal.
No way.
Apparently. His name is Larry Paul. More you know. So it was Hayden Panettiere.
It needs to be Leslie Mann.
Who's being...
So Leslie Mann is the wife of Judd Apatow. She was the sister in 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Okay.
Not 40-Year-Old Virgin, Knocked Up. She was the sister of Katherine Heigl's character.
Okay.
She... Yeah. Did you want to like... Oh, fuck.
I know the face. I just can't remember any performances.
She was in Knocked Up. She was in Funny People. Any sort of Judd Apatow movie she's been in. And she has just this like kind of right amount of like fuck you. Just to sort
on
of...
On her face.
On her face. Like her face just portrays fuck you. And granted, she doesn't really look like Amanda as a character, but I think the attitude's there.
I can picture her with a glass of wine just telling Alec Baldwin to just go fuck himself.
Dude, that combination? Fuck.
All right, and then there's the daughter. Amanda.
And no, Amanda's the... So we need Tracy.
Tracy, the slut. Promiscuous.
The promiscuous daughter.
Miley Cyrus.
Too promiscuous.
She fit better as Trevor's daughter. Trevor had one.
Yeah. She fits better as the woman that Trevor's banging when they first met him. I don't know. So you need some sort of like a...
Sorry. Have you seen the side-by-side image of Miley Cyrus and Simple Jack?
Back in the day when she had the sort of the dip, yeah.
The like fringe, blonde fringe cut. Fucking hilarious. So funny.
See, this is where it's going to get tough because I don't know a lot of young actresses.
Brie Olsen? Brie Larson?
Brie Larson might be a little old and she's actually an incredibly good actress. So that's kind of interesting. You need someone that's just...
I don't know, Brie Larson. Like, how old is Tracy in the game, roughly?
Like, 18-ish?
Isn't Brie Larson in, like, mid-20s?
Yeah, maybe.
She could play a, you know, 20-year-old-ish. Yeah. With Alec Baldwin as the dad, who's, like, 50-something. Like, that
Alec
age
Baldwin is over 50.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
He's an old man.
Yeah.
Yeah, in that case, look, I think... I don't think she's... trashy enough.
We'll leave it to Hollywood for those cases.
Yeah, Hollywood.
But
we've got
Stephen Ogg, O'Shea Jackson Jr.
Oh, okay.
Alec Baldwin.
And finally, for Lamar, which is Franklin's buddy,
Kevin Hart.
I was gonna go more of like no, like Kevin Hart would be the studio choice. I'm thinking not Kendrick Lamar. Fuck, what's his name? He's a hip hop artist. He's really skinny, lanky. He's got tons of tattoos. No. Do you not know hip hop music? I think it's like ASAP Rocky. I think is his name.
Who?
I don't know. I'll see if I can find him.
I have no idea who you're talking about. I can't picture Lamar in my head.
Oh, okay.
I can't picture the character.
Also, so he's tall, lanky, kind of. I'll get you a photo. That'll only benefit people like you and me because no one's watching. That is Lamar.
Right. He looks old.
He looks older than I thought he did. In as in like you look at it and you're like, oh yeah, that's gonna kick you.
50 Cent.
No.
No.
No, that's not who I want. That's not who I want either.
Oh, I'll leave that to Hollywood too.
I'm going to think about it. That's
it.
That's it. Oh, so that came from the players and we did good.
We did good. We did good. I want this BioShock movie.
I think it is. It's Wiz Khalifa. Wiz Khalifa is the guy I'm thinking of.
I can't put a face to him either. I'm not down with it, Ryan.
You were, then they changed what it was. And
yeah, now.
Now it seems scary too.
It is scary. Yeah. I would like this GTA movie.
I just
need more Alec Baldwin.
Okay. Oh man, I need like I love 30 Rock so much. You've watched 30 Rock?
No, I haven't.
Dude, if you love Alec Baldwin, you need to watch 30 Rock.
Picturing Alec Baldwin and Stephen Ogg, you know, communing with each other would be fucking hilarious. Are you going to wrap this segment up or?
Yeah, no, what do you think? I'm trying to pull up the questions. What did you think of our movie pitches? Be sure to comment below. Let us know what your thoughts are. Mm. Well, quickly, so with that, we went kind of long on that one, so I'll just pick a handful, a couple of questions. Joel asks, quite a long one, but it's a good question nonetheless. With Gamescom being crowned the world's biggest gaming convention last week and having more attendees than E3, do you think that E3 should shift its focus back into being an industry trade show and back showcasing the titles coming in that year? Over the past 5 to 10 years, it seems to be a place where publishers just come out and present trailers for games coming years down the track that I don't really need to know exist yet, quote, and in brackets, Death except Training. Bethesda, they are still probably king of reveal slash release time. I agree that I think the decision that E3 made to have access to the public was purely a financial decision. Gamescom thrives on that. That's sort of been their, as far as I'm aware, that's been their business model since day one.
Yeah.
I think E3 should just stay as what they are, industry.
Yeah, but maybe
focus on the conferences, focus on media getting in there and handling some things.
Yeah, but doing it that way obviously is not working for them if they decide to open it to the public financially.
Or it's either financially or the pressure that everybody else is doing it.
I don't know. E3 is a weird one because it's so... what's the word I'm looking for? Because you don't know what to expect, it's either fucking awesome, like 2016 was, or meh, like this year's was.
And the benefit of Gamescom coming after E3, they can say, oh yeah, you saw this at E3, it's going to be at Gamescom.
It's going to be playable, at Gamescom. On the floor. Playable and a date, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think E3 opening its doors to the public, because I think there was mixed messaging, and probably I wouldn't be surprised if there was a ton of people who bought tickets thinking they were going to get to sit in on the conferences.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you just get to muck around on the show floor as you would any other,
line up.
As you would any other convention. So I don't know. I don't know. E3 is just, it's weird. I don't know. I think it's struggling to find what it wants to be in this new landscape of the industry. So it's going to be trying a lot of new things, maybe. The only way to really know is next year to see if they do open the doors again to the public, or if this was just a 1-year experiment. They're like, it didn't really kind of work out what we wanted it to be.
Like it. You like what you're thinking.
You like what?
I like you thinking.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to add to it.
No.
Like okay.
And finally, Zach asks the question, would you be happy if the PlayStation exclusives were in fact timed exclusives?
Wouldn't bother me at all.
See, it's interesting. Like, I think, fuck it, why not? More people can play it. Good on them, right? But it's the same. It's the same problem. The reason we have exclusives now is because it feeds competition. And competition is the essential part of business. Without competition, people get stale.
Yeah, but the competition doesn't just have to be between the consoles. It's between the studios themselves as well.
Yeah, but I think the studios... it's tough. Because I haven't said it in a while. The money for those studios comes from the console manufacturer. Comes from PlayStation. So PlayStation going... hey, you know, we want this to be better than what Xbox have. Here's a ton of money to make a really good game for us. If it's open, there's, you know, and the publishers would, sorry, if it was open, the developers could potentially have to fund it themselves or find other investments. You know, from a competitive standpoint, from a business standpoint, I would say time exclusives okay. If it was like, it would have to be like a year, like
I think Tomb time Raider. Exclusives are fucking dumb.
I hate time exclusives.
Either make it exclusive permanently or don't. Because then the issue is, I think Tomb Raider saw this problem, is that it was a time exclusive for a year on Xbox. And then when it came out on PlayStation, no one really gave a dick by that point. It was old news. It was a year old. Where, you know, if it was a permanent exclusive, that might have pulled more people over to the Xbox console. You know, if Tomb Raider was, you know, first party exclusive, not first party, but exclusive to Xbox going here forward, where the risk with time exclusive is, yeah, you know, after a year, the want for that game has dissipated, and, you know, you might sell it during a sale, but...
But see, I think potentially where Zach's coming from is the idea that, yeah, once it's past that big, you know, that first 6 months and sales drop anyway, who cares?
No, not
open
me.
It up. Like, no, I think that's the point he's making. Yeah, I think it's like after 6 months, you know, none of those big, you know, most sales you'll get for a gamer in the first 2 weeks, and it kind of drops
down. If it came out and said Uncharted 5 will come to Xbox a year after it comes to PS4, but okay, whatever, I don't care.
I'd be like, that's interesting.
Decision, I mean, it's weird from a business perspective and all of that, but as a, you know, a PlayStation owner, it's okay. Cool, more people get to enjoy Naughty Dog stuff. That's awesome.
But that doesn't help fanboy fights, though.
Nothing will help fanboy fights ever until we have one unified platform.
Which I it will never happen.
It will one day.
No, it will not happen. They're,
very long time away. There will be no point in 50 years to still have separate consoles. That whole business model is will be gone. Guaranteed. We survive until then, I'll rub it in your face.
I disagree. It simply comes out of the competition of business.
Yeah, but with how much everything has changed in the last, you know, even 10 years, I don't think if the gaming landscape looks like it does now in 50 years, the industry's fucked.
Yeah.
Because
there are some things
what's happening now is not, I don't think it's sustainable. Just in the long run, I don't think we're going to have an Xbox and a PlayStation. Could be 20, 30, 40, 50 after our lifetime, but there will be a point where you just kind of plug into this box and you're just in this fucking world of whatever.
I disagree, but it would be like it would be nice, but I disagree.
Like Tron, or Ready Player One.
But that's 20 years from now. We want to talk about what games is coming out this week in the section called Coming to the Players.
We have, I don't know,
X amount of games.
X amount of games. I'll shoot through them quickly, and then as usual, we'll talk about the ones that are interesting to us. A Whole New World, PS4 Digital.
Spelled hole as in a butthole.
Antiquia Lost, PS4 and PS Vita Digital. Destiny 2, PS4 Digital and Retail. Don't Knock Twice, PS4, PSVR Digital. Drive Girls, PS Vita Digital, Retail. Gun Ducky Industries, PS4 Digital. Knack 2, PS4 Digital and Retail. Rest in peace, Knack. Licky the Lucky Lizard Lives Again, PS Vita Digital. The Lost Bear, PSVR Digital. Senko no Ronde 2, PS4 Digital. Songbringer, PS4 Digital. Spectrum, PS4 Digital. Mask of Truth, PS4, PS Vita Digital and Retail. How can they release games with this kind of a name to a Western market?
Utah Wereru Mono.
Yeah.
It's
writing its own death wish coming to a Western market with that kind of a title.
Yeah, but there's all those sort of like Japanese lovers like you and Joel. They'd be like, that sounds Japanese. I want to own that, no. Joel.
See, I can say Persona. I can say Final Fantasy. I can't say Utiwara. No. Two big games for the week are obviously starting the biggest game of the week.
Destiny 2.
Knack 2. PS4, digital and retail. Meet Knack, a little guy with surprising moves and the ability to transform big to small and back again in this family-friendly adventure from the developers of PlayStation. Are we getting it?
I've got confirmed, yes.
You did get confirmed?
Yes.
Fuck yeah.
Stream the shit out of that.
And secondary to Knack 2 is, of course, you know, Destiny 2 is coming out.
Second to that is, of course, Drive Girls. Yeah, and Destiny's on the list too.
Destiny 2 is an action shooter that takes you on an epic journey across the solar system. In a cinematic campaign, you'll enter a world filled with compelling characters and fight to take back our home. Battle alongside friends with multiple cooperative modes or challenge others in intense multiplayer matches. We all know what Destiny 2 is.
Yeah, it's Destiny 2 enact.
Destiny 2 is Destiny 1 with more.
Mm-hmm.
And Knack 2 is Knack 1 with more.
Yeah, because it literally is like when you become Big Knack. It's the same, but with more in the Big Knack.
Do you think this will stop the memes or fuel the memes?
Fuel the memes.
With Knack.
Oh, yeah.
What if it is a smashing critical success?
So the first
one. What if it's like Breath of the Wild for PlayStation? As in, everyone's just like
Breath of the Knack?
Everyone's just 10 out of 10. This game is just fucking perfect.
Doubt it, I think.
But what if it is?
That'd be amazing.
Humor me.
Oh, it would be beautiful.
All the memers have to like eat their
Yeah, the screens. Internet would cave in on itself for a moment.
Facebook would shut down and all the regular people would just not understand why.
Pretty much. But let us know in the comments below what you'll be picking up this week for your PlayStation Entertainment System.
Maybe Destiny 2.
Maybe.
See where I'm at.
I'm going to do it.
See where I'm at.
Decision made. Do you think?
Oh, yeah. How do I start the thing?
If you enjoyed that conversation.
If you enjoyed that PlayStation conversation, you can find many more every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube, iTunes and other podcast services. More conversation happens on our Facebook community group page at facebook.com/groups/thepopculturist, and the most conversation happens on our Discord server, which you can find in the link below, or head over to aforementioned community group page. Sorry, this bores you. And get the link to the Discord channel. If you want to submit questions for this show or our popcorn movie show, you can do so at www.thepopculturist.com/questions. Don't be fooled, we don't have a website just yet. Well, we do, but it's not out, but you can go there and submit questions. If you really like what we do, please head over to
It's because you're trying to dive down like what we do,
please head over to patreon.com/thepopculturist. Check out the tiers there. There might be something there that interests you. I'm Josh Saunders.
I'm Ryan Betson. And that was for the players.
Fucked you up there by saying my name first, didn't
you? You did, sure did. Bing.